In Houston today, federal prosecutors scored their biggest conviction yet in the Enron scandal. Ben Glisson, the energy trading company's former treasurer, pled guilty to a single count of conspiracy to commit wire and securities fraud. Glisson had faced more than two dozen charges, all part of the government's case against another Enron executive, Chief Financial Officer Andrew Fastow. The two executives engineered many of the off-balance sheet partnerships that eventually caused Enron to collapse. NPR's Wade Goodwin has the story.
Today's announcement by satisfied-looking federal prosecutors serves as a warning to other Enron executives, former executives like CFO Andrew Fastow, President Jeff Skilling, and CEO Ken Lay. As Enron's treasurer, Ben Glisson was at the heart of the company's financial dealings, and now he has admitted he was guilty of conspiracy and fraud. Conspiring with whom is still to be decided. Outside the federal courthouse, just after Glisson had been led away to prison, lead prosecutor Leslie Caldwell suggested the conspiracy involved the company's top executives.
Things were done in a very sophisticated and very complicated way at very high levels to hide what was really going on. And we're not talking about just shredding documents or putting things in desk drawers. We're talking about creating entire structures and financial instruments to hide the reality of what they were doing. I'm completely satisfied with what we've accomplished, and I expect additional results in the future.
The government alleges that Ben Glisson and Andrew Fastow conspired to defraud investors and shareholders by devising business entities that were supposed to be independent of Enron, but were actually controlled by Fastow and other Enron executives. In the process of hiding debt, and in some cases inflating profits, Fastow and Glisson allegedly cut themselves and friends in on the action, Fastow to the tune of more than $30 million. In a deal called Southampton, named for a ritzy Houston neighborhood where Fastow and Skilling live, Glisson was allowed to turn his personal investment of $5,800 into $1 million in just a couple of days. As part of the plea, the government is getting that money back.
That's money that he earned primarily from a transaction that you may be familiar with known as Southampton, in which he made a very small investment and got a large return. And he is returning all of that money, and that money will be used. It'll be added into the 65-some million that we've already forfeited to be paid eventually to Enron victims.
There were reports earlier this year that Ben Glisson was cooperating with the government, but today's plea indicates those discussions did not come to fruition. Caldwell was terse on this point.
We indicted Mr. Glisson. He was never cooperating. We didn't expect him to cooperate, and we are fully prepared to go forward against Mr. Fastow without Mr. Glisson. We never were banking on him coming and being a witness for us.
Glisson will serve 5 years in prison, and prosecutors seemed satisfied with that. Perhaps the length of sentence was less important than the admission of guilt by such a central player. It will affect not only the Enron criminal cases, but as prosecutor Andrew Wiseman enthusiastically pointed out, the guilty plea also will impact the many civil lawsuits Enron executives face.
For many plaintiffs, victims in this case, who are suing Mr. Glisson and many, many other Enron officials, this now makes their case a virtual slam dunk. Because they can take this judgment and commitment order entered today against Mr. Glisson and use it in their civil case, where they only have to prove their case by a preponderance of the evidence, and they now have a guilty plea, which is proof beyond a reasonable doubt of Mr. Glisson's guilt in a central fraud in the Enron scheme.
Earlier this week, lead Enron prosecutor Leslie Caldwell moved from Washington, D.C. down to Houston. It is a sign that the Justice Department's Enron cases are entering a busy phase. Wade Goodwin, NPR News.